Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, my dear fellow redeemed. As we continue walking through 2 Corinthians, we wish to focus our attention this morning on two of the verses from our second lesson. Listen again to verses 8 and 9. I do not say this as a command, but to test how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that although he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. This is the word of our Lord. And things had been going so well. We were just getting into 2 Corinthians. We were just kind of getting interested in the flow of thought and how everything was going. We're getting into those little worksheets that are in the worship service, and then you got to throw this giving thing into it. I was just starting to enjoy it. And now we're right back to the old thing, right? All the church wants is my money. Now we got to deal with the fact that now they're going to start begging for stuff. By the way, this lesson appears once every 3 years. Is now a good time? We might find it kind of interesting that the Apostle Paul, as you remember all the things that were going on within the Corinthian congregation, all the struggles and all the problems that they had, that he would throw this in. But you also probably remember from your studies that chapters 8 and 9 from 2 Corinthians is kind of the spot where our Lord and our God really describes what giving is all about. And yet we still might ask, is now a good time to be talking about giving? Things are still a bit unsettled. The economy is still kind of a little shaky as we're coming out of this whole pandemic thing. We still watch things kind of going up and down. Is now a good time? Maybe things are still a little bit iffy at work. Maybe you've got a transition in your life. You're moving from one thing to another. Maybe something major just happened, a health crisis. Maybe something broke in the house, whatever it may be. Is now a good time to be talking about giving? Should we really be talking about it now? I mean, people are just starting to come back. And now we throw this out. Now, before we roll our eyes and close our ears, let's hear our Lord and our Savior out. We focus our attention mainly on verses 8 and 9 this morning. You'll notice that the rest of your study for the following week will allow you to back up and take a bigger look at the entire lesson. But we look at these two verses because they are the verses that set the foundation for everything that he's talking about in chapters 8 and 9. When you give, compare. Look at the eagerness of others. Look at the love and grace of Jesus. When you give, compare. Look at the eagerness of others. The Apostle Paul had just reminded us of the Macedonians. Those are the people that are up in kind of the northeast part of Greece. He's talking to the Corinthians, which are down in the southern part. As you and I read through these chapters, it's interesting that as he has the Corinthians compare themselves to the eagerness of the Macedonians, he had told them that he also used the Corinthians to encourage the Macedonians. But as you look at the eagerness of others, we are not talking about what you give. You probably need to be my age and older to remember what a longer congregations had the process of doing. We used to affectionately call them the scandal sheets. Part of the annual report listed every communicant member in the congregation by name and everything that they gave during the year. And I'm sure the reason for that was to do what Paul is doing here. He is taking these Corinthians and he's allowing them to compare themselves to the eagerness of the Macedonians, compare themselves to the gifts that others had been giving. Here was an opportunity, as you reviewed what was going on within the congregation, to be thankful that you are not doing this alone. That there are others who have been blessed, that God has given gifts to other people, and their eagerness can serve as an encouragement. But you might be grinning inside, because that isn't how it worked. It was an opportunity, perhaps, for me to compare my giving to somebody else, maybe be encouraged by that. But my grin inside very quickly goes away because I'm going to guess that you are just like my sinful nature. And instead of comparing my giving to others, I started comparing others' giving to me. And I stood there and I began to resent those who were flaunting their wealth. There's nothing but show-offs. Or looking down on others who certainly could be pulling their weight a little better than they are, if only they'd be doing as well as I am. We're not talking about what we give when the apostle encourages us to look at the eagerness of others. What we give is between you and me and our Lord. What we give is because of love, the love of God. You know the first article. God is the one who gives us our clothing and shoes and food and drink and house and home and land and cattle and spouse and children and everything else that you and I need for body and for life. What we give is because of all the gifts that God in His amazing love has showered down on us to give to you and to me for life in this world. What we give is because of love. You remember how that explanation of the article ended right after listing all the things that God in His love did for us. For all this, we ought to thank, praise, serve, and obey Him. What we give, that's done because of our love for the Lord who loves us so much. So when we give, compare. Yes, compare to the eagerness. Look at the eagerness of others. Not so much the what, but the how and the why. He takes them to the Macedonians and he says, I do not say this as a command, but to test how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of others. He takes those Corinthians to the Macedonian Christians and he wants them to look at their eagerness. That word has this idea of haste, hurry, get in there, get the job done. They didn't resent Paul and his companions when they came with this opportunity to give. They did not tell them, this is my money, this is my checkbook, this is my time, these are my things, you mind your own business. You can't tell me what to be doing here. Instead, they were eager. They jumped at the chance. Here was an opportunity, one of many opportunities, to thank and praise the Lord and the God who had given them so many gifts. Now they can give in return thankfulness to their Lord and to their God, and also help somebody else who needed some assistance at the time. They were eager. In fact, earlier in the lesson, we're told that they were begging to take part in this gift. This was their opportunity. Their eagerness also showed how genuine their love was. That's the word that carries the idea of true, noble, right. This was an opportunity. This was a chance. This was a chance for them to love their Lord and their God. That's why they gave. They wanted to praise their God. When you give, compare. Look at the eagerness of others. Rejoice in the gifts that God showers upon your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Rejoice in the encouragement that they are able to offer as they, in love, give their gifts to their Lord and their God. Just because they give doesn't take away your joy, but can give us the joy. The how? Well, again, that's up to you. The how, there's all kinds of ways how you could possibly give. You can use the envelope, throw it in the basket as you come in. You could go to the website or get that Give Plus app, put that on your phone. You could do it that way. You could set up something in your bank's bill pay, and you could set up 1 month every week, however you'd like to, and you could have it sent directly here to the congregation. You could sit down and do a little bit of estate planning. You could take a look at some of your IRA distributions, and in the meantime, perhaps give a little gift that way. You could sit down with your lawyer and rethink your will and perhaps remember the congregation and God's work that way. There's all kinds of ways how. And as you look at the eagerness of others, again, not the what, but you might learn some different ways how you could possibly praise your Lord and your God, perhaps ways that you hadn't thought of. When you give, compare. Look at the eagerness of others. Rejoice in their faith. Give thanks for them. Rejoice in those gifts as you also rejoice in your eagerness, in your genuine love for your Lord and Savior. But you notice where Paul goes right after that. Right after he reminds us, when you give to compare, look at the eagerness of others, he then zeroes in and says, now look at the grace of Jesus. You know the verse. You probably memorized it somewhere along the way. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that although he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. Look at the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't pass over the names too quickly. We are probably so used to saying Lord Jesus Christ, we're probably so used to moving on to the rest of what he has to say, that it's easy for us to forget who we're looking to. When you give, compare, look at the grace of the Lord. The Lord. It's all his. He's the one who is in control. He's the one who is the master. He is the one who is the giver. He is the one who is the receiver. You and I get to rejoice in the fact that this is all part of the grace of the Lord, who manages and guides and gives everything. Look at the grace of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is his personal name. Name that means Savior. But that personal name also reminds you and me that this is a person who was born just like you were born. Here is a person who grew up just like you grow up. Here is a person who lived among people and carried out his business just like you and I do. Jesus is a name that reminds us that the God, the Lord, who is above and beyond everything that you and I can simply imagine, became a human being just like you and me. By that amazing grace, he wanted to be part of his world. Look at the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is his title. Christ is what he does. Here is the one who comes and proclaims to you everything that God wants you to know. Here is the one who comes and sacrifices himself as the perfect sacrifice of atonement to pay for the sins of the world. Here is the one who is busily defeating sin and death and Satan, fights the battle that you and I simply could not fight, and now lives and rules over everything. That's the one we look at. When you give, compare, look at the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's rich. He's got it all. You don't. And you've got a world busily telling you that you don't. You've got a world, no matter where you rank in the world's idea of what rich is or isn't, you've got a world that is very busily trying to tell you that there's always something more. There's something bigger, there's something newer, there's something better, there's something faster. You never quite have enough. You can never be content with what you've been given. And as the world is busy whispering that in your ear, you've got your own sinful nature that says, yeah, that's right. When that guy got something, I should have gotten that too. Because that person has something, I wish I had that. And as we start wishing for something that God hasn't given to us, all of a sudden we see 9th and 10th commandment issues flowing into 7th commandment issues, and that culminates in the 1st commandment issue. Satan, the world, my flesh, busy whispering in my ear, wishing I had that, wishing I could do that, maybe I should keep this. And that's a lack of trust. I forget about God's grace. I see what he has given to me, and I see giving as something that means I am now down a little bit. I have less than I had before. And if I give this away, I don't know if God's going to give it back. I'm not convinced that he can give me what I think I need, and so I need to hoard, I need to keep, I need to hold all of this onto myself, because I have forgotten that it's his anyway. When you give, compare. Look at the grace of Jesus. He is rich. He gave it all up. He set it all aside. As a majestic king and master and owner of everything, he was willing to set it aside and become poor materially. He had nothing, no place to lay his head, depended upon the good graces and the eagerness of others to give in order to take care of him. But he also became poor spiritually. He became bankrupt. He became the one who owed the debt. He became the one who was saddled with the guilt and the debt of the sinful world. And he's the one that had to pay it. When you give, compare. Look at the grace of Jesus. Even though he was rich, yet in his amazing grace, he became poor. He set it all aside so that you can become rich. Now you have it all. You've got everything. You've got everything that you need. You are the kings and the princes. You are the queens and the princesses. You are the ones who have the inheritance of heaven. You are the one who holds everything that God has to give to you and to me. You are now rich. Materially? Maybe. Depending upon where you land and what the world thinks. But God has promised that he will continue to provide everything that's necessary for body and life. He gives you what you need. And like he did with Jesus, perhaps sometimes what you need is given because of the eager giving of others. You certainly have everything that you need spiritually. You have an abundance of his grace. You are showered in his love. You are adopted into his family. You're citizens of his kingdom. You have his grace and his mercy and his love. You have forgiveness, life, and salvation. You hear the promises in his word. You're about to receive that precious supper. All of those that are reminded that you and I can put our hope in our Lord and our God because he gives you everything that you need. When you give, compare. Look at the grace of the Lord Jesus. And that will guide the opportunities. So is now a good time? I suppose our sinful natures would like to say there never is a good time. We can always come up with some kind of reason why I will selfishly think about me and see these opportunities to praise my Lord and my God as nothing but attempts to take my money away from me. But maybe now is a good time. As you notice in your worship folder, that middle paragraph there reminds you and me that as of right now, you and I rejoice in the fact that God has blessed this congregation. We get to talk about giving not because the budget needs something. We get to talk about giving simply because I need to give. What an amazing gift that our Lord and our God gives to us. We get to be encouraged by our brothers and sisters in faith who are in this with us. As together, we work together to get that gospel message out. We get to rejoice as we look at the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful for this opportunity to be here and receive word and sacrament. And see how God takes all of his opportunities to give to you and to me exactly what you need. And now we get to respond. We get to praise. We get to give thanks. So when you give, compare. Look at the eagerness of others. Give thanks for those whose praise along with you. And then look at the grace of Jesus. And in that amazing love, you just give. Amen.